ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिनिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ते स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, welcome to all the devotees for the Sunday festival this afternoon. Today is the last day of Purushottam month, and it is considered very auspicious to discuss about Srimad Bhagavatam in the month of Purushottam Mass. So, I thought we'll discuss an overview of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10 topics which is discussed in the second canto, 10th chapter, first verse. So these 10 topics are discussed by Shukadev Goswami, and the entire Bhagavatam flows with those topics in mind. So probably some of you are pretty new and you may not be familiar with the Bhagavatam, and probably sometimes you may also find the discussion little technical. So if you can relish the discussion, then it is great. If you can't keep pace or understand certain things also, there is no issue. You can sit back, relax and enjoy the AC. But the Bhagavatam sound vibration is all pure, all powerful. So we'll just try to see, you know, what these 12 cantos deal with. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvantara ishanukatha nirodhar muktirashraya. So these are the 10 topics which Bhagavatam deals with. Sarga is creation. Visarga is sub-creation. So, as we come to each one of these topics, I'll explain in detail. Because you will anyway forget if I explain even the words, what they mean. So, basically, the jiva desires to enjoy separate from Krishna and is provided a facility in the material world. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. So we are originally part and parcel of Krishna, and in the spiritual world, the jiva is enjoying unlimited pleasure serving the Lord. So the constitutional position of the jiva is to give pleasure to Krishna. But somehow or the other, there may be a tendency for the jiva to enjoy independent of Krishna. Different devotees asked question to Prabhupada that if the jiva is in the spiritual world, how he can desire to come down, or why he should feel dissatisfied. So different times Prabhupada gave different answers. Sometimes he said causeless envy. Sometimes he said causeless stupidity. But whatever it may be, the facility is there that you can only stay in the spiritual world if you want to serve Krishna out of your free will. So those who want to experience being prototype gods are provided a facility where each soul tries to be the Lord and Master. So in the spiritual world, all the souls are on the same plane. All of their egos are perfectly in sync. It's a wonderful harmony, symphony, orchestra in the spiritual world, where all the different souls' egos are tuned in to please Krishna. You must have heard some, you know, orchestra or symphony or you know, there is a famous Zubin Mehta, and the conductor, you know, he moves his stick, and then based on that he will direct some, so then they will go like this on the violin, somebody will play on the piano, somebody will do this, somebody will do that, but overall it's a nice music as per the direction of the director. So that's like the spiritual world. But then sometimes some musicians don't want to follow. You know, he's telling the violin fellow to play, and the guitar fellow starts playing on this side. So it kind of creates a discord. So naturally, he has to be created separate facility. Ideally, one room where he can play whatever he wants. Because he has proved that he can't be part of a big team where he can, you know, follow and actually create a harmonious sound. So therefore, each soul wants to express his lordship. And therefore, the Lord decides that the only way it is possible is that it is not possible to create one universe for every soul for logistic reasons. So therefore, the Lord makes an arrangement that externally, grossly, there will be few universes, there which are also unlimited. But within the universe, each soul will be living in his own universe. And that is created by providing the software of false ego. So when the false ego is given, so each individual feels that I am the Lord of my world. And if he analyzes where is his world, there is none. But that is what is known as the false ego. So therefore Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, the reason why variety is given in the material world is that only when there is variety, one soul can have the satisfaction of thinking I have something better than someone else. If everyone has all the equal facilities, all the equal status, everything equal, from where that satisfaction will come, that I am the Lord. Therefore, in order to facilitate the satisfaction of the false ego, which is the original reason for the soul coming down, because he is not happy serving the Lord, he wants to be the Lord. So to provide a facility for every soul to feel that I am Lord, he is put in a situation where there will always be differences between us and other souls in different ways. So that is the reason for diversity, variety in this world. So therefore, the first topic which Bhagavatam describes is known as Sarga. Okay, this is a dialogue going on between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj is the king of the planet, he is about to die in 7 days and seven nights. So first he asks about the creation. What is the purpose of this creation? So what happens is, as Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body and Shukadeva Goswami appears along with so many other sages, so at that point Maharaj Parikshit is very pleased that Shukadeva Goswami has appeared. So he asks him that, please tell me the answer to two questions. What is that? Atha prichhami samsiddhim yoginam paramam guru purushasyeha yat karyam mriyamanasya sarvada. What is the duty of a soul at all times in life, and what is the duty of a soul who is about to die? Please answer these two questions. So in response to this, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he gives the reply, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. The duty of every soul is to constantly remember, hear and chant the glories of Krishna. So one may say, oh, it is not working hard, making money, taking care of family, doing all these things. So in the previous three verses, he describes the futility of Karma Yoga. देहापत्य कलत्रादिषु आत्मसैन्येषु असत्सु अपि तेषां प्रमत्तं निधनं पश्यन् अपि न पश्यति. वॉट एवर वर्क वन मे बी एंगेज्ड इन, इफ वन थिंग्स दैट सिंपली वर्किंग एंड गेटिंग रिवॉर्ड फॉर द वर्क एंड मेंटेनिंग माई लाइफ विथ फैमिली इज द गोल ऑफ लाइफ, then ultimately all of that forces are going to be destroyed at the time of death. Pashyan api na pashyati. And we have seen our forefathers dying, family members dying. Similarly, I will also die. So where is the solution? Therefore, tasmat sarvatma bhagavan ishwaro hari. Remember, worship, chant and glorify Krishna. And this, he says, is the duty for all kinds of transcendentalists. Etad nirvidyamananam icchatam akuto bhayam yoginam nripanirnitam harer nama anukirtanam. The jnanis, the yogis, the karmis and the devotees, they have all ascertained that the ultimate goal is harer nama anukirtanam, to chant the glories of Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj, he is hearing this, and then immediately after saying this, Shukadeva Goswami starts describing about how the universe came into existence, or he starts describing about the universal form, and then he starts explaining the process of yoga. So he has just mentioned one must always chant the holy names, and suddenly he starts describing about process of yoga. And that is because so many transcendentalists sitting in that assembly were jnanis and yogis. So Shukadeva Goswami wanted to attract their attention also in the upcoming subject matter. So it is very interesting that right at the very beginning, after describing how the ultimate goal is chanting holy names, Shukadeva Goswami immediately after the next verse starts describing about the process of yoga. And he says the process involves yam, niyam, pranayam, pratyahar, and then he says dharana. And dharana means that you have to concentrate and focus the mind on the Supreme Lord. So he says the Lord has two forms. One is the Vashti Atma, who is inside as Paramatma. But then the mind is extremely distracted, and sometimes one may not be able to focus on the Lord within. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj asks question, so what is the way by which one can focus if the mind is distracted, if the mind starts thinking of so many other things? So then he says the way to focus is we focus on the Samashti Atma, which is the universal form. So what is this universal form? So universal form is a contemplation of all the different objects which are created at the very beginning from Mahavishnu. So from Mahavishnu comes Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and from Garbhodaksha Vishnu comes all of these different universes. And within the universe, the creation is made by Lord Brahma. So this is described in great detail in the second and the third cantos. That from the navel of Garbhodaksha Vishnu comes lotus. And that is the lotus which is comprising of all the jivas with unlimited desires. And then on top Brahmaji is there, and Brahmaji is totally bewildered. And then he starts meditating. And after his meditation, the Lord manifests and gives him the idea how to create. So this entire process describes how even Brahmaji is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So as part of his creation, Lord Brahma creates the material elements, he creates the sense objects, he then puts all the different jivas into the different bodies as per their karma. So that is known as the secondary creation visarga. So sarga basically means the original ingredients of the five gross elements, three subtle elements, then the senses and the sense objects, And all of those 24 elements which are created is known as the original creation or sarga or primary creation. So therefore, here Parikshit Maharaj is wanting to know how one can focus. So Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that ultimately the mind can only think of different objects which it experiences. So he says that because the mind has a tendency to think of something material and not something spiritual, therefore, at least to begin with, whenever any material thought comes into the mind, try to connect it with some aspect of the Lord. That's basically the universal form. So he says, for example, the universal form has his ankle, the universal form has his calves and knees. So the different planetary systems, beginning from Patal, Sutal, Atal, Vital, they are all like the calves, the knees, the lower thighs, the upper thighs of the universal form. Then the universal form has a chest. Okay, so the Swarga is like the chest of the universal form. The universal form has a forehead, the Tapolok, and then the top of the head, Satyaloka, is like the head of the universal form. So one may want to become like Indra or controller, but we should know that Indra is like the arms of the universal form. Or one may become fearful of death, and one may think death is coming, what will happen? So it is recommended you should think that Yamraj is like the front teeth of the universal form. You know, when someone just shows the front teeth, it is dangerous, deadly, fearsome. And then the two rows of the teeth are considered to be like affection. What is the smile of the universal form? The material energy, Maya. We become enchanted by that smile. What is the glance of the universal form? The samsara, the terrible ocean of samsara which drowns us. Shyness is like the upper lip of the universal form. And then someone may feel, I am so greedy. Any amount of money I get, possessions I get, it's never enough. I want more and more and more. Right? Sometimes one may feel like that. You know, one big businessman approached Prabhupada and he said, and I have, you know, so much of money, I have so many factories. One factory in this city, one factory in another city, one factory there. But managing all these factories, it is so difficult. I am not able to sleep at night. Prabhupada said, give the factories to us and sleep peacefully. So he got bewildered. So he said, okay, I'll come some other time. Prabhupada said, give us your address. Prabhupada was very serious. Give us your address. He said, Swamiji, I have your address, I will come. So sometimes when we feel, okay, greed is affecting me. So we are sitting and thinking that, how I can do this, how I can do that. Iti kritya chintaya, it is called. Pravruddha lobam vishayeshu lalasam. So that is to be considered as a lower lip of the universal form. Then adharma, sin, is to be considered as the back of the universal form. So this doesn't mean that we go to a pub and think that, you know, this is the Lord's back. Where were you? I was massaging his back. This is a step-by-step process for someone who is not yet connected with the spiritual form. So the process is given in that. When someone sees an ocean, it should be considered as the abdomen of the Supreme Lord. And when he sees a mountain, one should think this is the bone of the Lord. River is like the wings of that Lord. The clouds are like the hair. So in this way, there are unlimited ways in which things are described, where anything in this world can be contemplated as part of the Lord. So what is the idea in doing this? The idea in doing this is very simple. All the objects about which the mind thinks, all the objects which the mind can think of, are limbs of the Lord. And therefore this leads to the fact that all of our thoughts become thoughts of the Lord. Thus all our thoughts will become thoughts of the Lord, because everything is connected to the Supreme Lord. And in this way, hatred, envy and desire which may disturb us can be overcome, and the mind which is contaminated can thus become gradually purified. So this is the whole idea of the contemplation of the universal form, that you see everything as an expansion of the Lord's energy. And in this way, gradually you understand that there is a higher purpose. And then one gets the ability to focus and meditate further on the spiritual form of the Lord. So, in great detail, it is described in the second and third canto about how the creation is made, and the sarga and visarga are described. So somebody may ask a question that I have come here to hear about topics of Leela Avatar. I want to hear about Govardhan Leela. I want to hear about Ras Leela. I don't want to hear about this Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Kshirodakshay Vishnu. You know, I don't want to hear about Lord who is sleeping. You know, I have enough experience of that. I want to hear about something exciting, something dramatic. Not that he's just sleeping, and then what did he do? He continued sleeping. So the question is asked by Chakravarti Pad, who is eligible to hear the Leela Avatars? So there is some eligibility required also. So he says that those who are Nitya Siddha and who can constantly absorb their mind in Krishna, only they are qualified to hear about the Leela Avatars. Only they can enter into and swim in the ocean of sweet pastimes of Krishna. But those who are sleeping on the bed of sense pleasure, Chakravarti Pad gives a beautiful example, those who are sleeping on the bed of sense gratification, for them it is recommended to hear about the Lord who is sleeping on the bed of Anantashesh. That means he hears about how the Lord creates this material world. So how can that desire for sense gratification be counteracted? When we hear in detail about how those sense objects were created for our pleasure. So when we hear in great detail the analysis of how the sense objects were created step by step for our pleasure, then by hearing that, the desire to enjoy that goes away. Because when you know too much about some subject, then gradually detachment comes. Like for example, if someone is constantly cooking, then after cooking, then after coming out, he won't feel like eating that prasad too much. Or as Prabhupada says, a sweet maker, you know, doesn't get attracted to his own sweets. Yeah, our Damodar Prabhu makes lot of son papri, but he sits and eats non-spicy khichdi. Because how much, you know, just by seeing that constantly, you get detached. So therefore, by hearing about the details about how this creation was made to fulfill the desire of the conditioned soul, a detachment comes around. So the example Chakravarti Pad says is that the Srimad Bhagavatam, being most merciful, is thinking about how all kinds of souls with different desires can be delivered. And therefore the three categories, the karmis, jnanis and yogis, need to be transformed. So the karmis are distracted by sense objects. So therefore in order to capture them, there is a great detailed description about how the sense objects came into existence and the technology and the science behind the manufacture of the sense objects. Because that is the most attractive item for the karmi. He wants to enjoy sense objects. So therefore, the topic of the creation is very attractive. And then, as far as the jnanis and the yogis are concerned, for them, the most they are not distracted by sense objects, they are attracted to Brahman and Paramatma. So in order to attract them, there is a detailed discussion about how the self can meditate on the Supreme. So there is constant repetition of the word self and the meditation. So by discussing about meditation and the self, the class of jnanis and yogis may become attracted towards this subject matter. And in this way, the distraction of the karmis towards sense objects and the attraction of the jnanis and the yogis towards the lower forms of Brahman and Paramatma can be taken care, and all three can be ultimately attracted towards all attractive Bhagavan. So that's the whole game plan. And therefore, it is described here with an example that sometimes when a limb is burnt by fire, fire itself is used as relief. Or when a person is haunted by a ghost, sometimes he has to be cured by some ghost mantra, like that. So like that, a jiva absorbed in the sleep of Maya can be broken by topics concerning Maya. So therefore, the second and third canto contain details about the topics of sarga and visarga, which is how the Maya or material energy created all of these sense objects, this entire material world. And not only the sense objects, the ability for each soul to be able to connect to the right sense object, which is very important, because even for that the soul is dependent on Krishna. Because what is attractive to a human being is not attractive to a tiger and is not attractive to a mosquito. You know, so when a human being sees another attractive human being, he feels attracted in one way. But when a mosquito sees a human being, that attraction is something else. That mosquito feels now it is time for a feast. So who is giving that difference in knowledge to a mosquito and to the human being? Mattah smritir jnanam upohimam cha. So that knowledge is also coming from Krishna. That means even the ability to forget Krishna and enjoy sense gratification is coming from Krishna. So when we understand these topics in great detail, we will realize one thing, that all of my attraction towards sense gratification and my attempts at repeated sense gratification has been constantly facilitated by Krishna. So how merciful he has been. So therefore, let me only worship him. So that's the idea. So mayam varane do amushya ishvarasya anumodata shrinubata shraddhaya nityam mayayatma anumhiyate. So Bhagavatam says, if a jiva in relation to the Supreme Lord constantly describes, remembers and hears about Maya with proper faith, if a jiva in relation with Krishna, when he describes, remembers and hears about Maya in relationship with Krishna, he will not be bewildered by Maya. That's the whole idea. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with these topics, sarga and visarga. And the whole idea is to counteract the enjoyment propensity which is so deeply permeating the heart. The selfishness which is there within the heart, that I want to be the enjoyer, it is counteracted by hearing the details about how the material world is created for our pleasure. So in this way, this is the first two topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then comes the third topic. And in fact, even Vidura is telling Maitreya in the third canto, Savishva Janma Sthiti Sanyamarte Krita Avatara. Please describe to me the way in which Krishna manifested this material world. So Vidura is experiencing great separation from Krishna, who has gone back to the spiritual world. So he feels, it will be too much for me to hear directly about Krishna, so let me hear about his pastimes of creation. So therefore, Krishna performs pastimes using his chitta shakti, his internal energy, and also Krishna performs pastimes by using his material energy, by using maya shakti. So the sarga and visarga are topics which concern the leelas of Krishna performed through Mahavishnu, the Purushavataras, the Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Brahmaji and others, which is description of the maya shakti. So then, as far as chit shakti is concerned, that will be understood later when there is further purification. So these are the first two topics, sarga visarga. Third is known as sthanam. The third topic of Bhagavatam is called sthanam. So what is the definition of sthanam? Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijaya. So sthanam means, sthanam is technically defined as the right situation. Right situation means the right situation for the jivas to obey the laws of the Lord, Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada explains that the original creator and maintainer is Lord Vishnu. So now, as far as explaining the first two topics, sarga and visarga, is concerned, Brahmaji was brought into play. And there is a whole description of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Now, we want to focus only on Lord Vishnu. Once the creation comes into being, it is the duty of the conditioned soul to acknowledge the victory of the Lord in all circumstances. So that is known as Sthiti Vaikuntha Vijayaha. So what does it basically mean? The soul has desires. So sthanam basically means when the soul starts desiring to perform activities which will take him back to Godhead, the right position. So sthanam basically means what is the right position. So the right position is the Lord is always protecting his devotee. That is the meaning of sthanam. That the Lord is always wanting to protect his devotee, sthitihi. And this protection of the Lord for his devotee is known as Vaikuntha Vijaya. The excellence, Vijaya of the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. So that means every jiva in the material world has to ultimately go to the spiritual world. And how he will go is only based on the help which the Lord provides. So if you find here, Vaikuntha Vijaya means Lord destroys the sufferings of the jivas. So the Lord is always wanting to protect the jiva in different ways. So the third, fourth and fifth canto, different sections if we see, then this aspect is highlighted. Of what? Of sthanam. What is the sthanam? Protection which is offered by the Lord. If we simply express a desire to the Lord, then the Lord can provide the appropriate protection. So we find that in the third canto, Kapila explains devotional service in the three modes of nature. Bhakti in the mode of goodness, bhakti in mode of passion, bhakti in mode of ignorance. Based on that, in the fourth canto we find that the first pastime which begins is that of Daksha Prajapati. And Daksha Prajapati became very much angry upon Lord Shiva. So the pastime explains how Lord Shiva is sitting in an assembly and Daksha Prajapati enters. All the demigods get up except Lord Shiva. And Daksha Prajapati become very angry. Everyone got up, so Daksha Prajapati could have felt thousands of people got up. No, he didn't think like that. One person didn't get up. That was his perspective. And that person also happened to be his son-in-law. So that even compounded the matter. And he started blasting left and right Lord Shiva. So from Lord Shiva's camp, you know, his follower Nandi, he blasted Daksha back. And from Daksha Prajapati's camp, another person start arguing. And in this way, the whole Daksha Yagya became completely destroyed by this kind of argumentative fighting. So many times it happens, we assemble together for Ishta Goshti and we land up with Mushti Goshti. My point of view, my opinion, your opinion, this opinion, that opinion. So this entire Daksha Yagya then manifested in Daksha's head getting beheaded by Lord Shiva. So Daksha was a devotee, but because he had too much of separatist mentality, and therefore he was practicing bhakti in a mode of ignorance in one sense, which is the separatist mentality. And then the pastime after that comes is that of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto. So Dhruva Maharaj wants to sit on his father's lap, mother chastises him, he becomes angry. And then he goes back and cries to his mother. And mother says, what is the use of crying in front of me? If you cry in front of me, you will cry. I will add further tears. What is the point? So she says that better you approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. And that personality, you can take care of everyone's tears. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna has the heart of millions of mothers. So therefore you approach him. So Dhruva Maharaj enters into the forest. So, you know, it is being described how Krishna protects his devotees' desires. So Dhruva Maharaj is wanting to fulfill his desire. What is his desire? He wants to be a king greater than that of the biggest, that is Brahmaji, his great-grandfather. So he meets Narad Muni. So Narad Muni tries to test him. He says, you are a small boy, you should go and play. If you are not small, you are adult, then you must forgive. Either you are mature or immature. If you are immature, you would like play. If you are mature, you should know, you should forgive. So Dhruva Maharaj says, very good lecture, but I am Kshatriya. This lecture is very good for Brahmanas. As a Kshatriya, I am interested only in one thing, revenge. I am interested in getting a kingdom which is greater than that of my great-grandfather. Jigisho sadhu vartmame. Padam tribhonotkrishtam jigisho sadhu vartmame. I want a kingdom greater than that of my great-grandfather. So Narad Muni is astounded to see that how Dhruva Maharaj has so much of ambition. And Narad Muni then gives him the mantra. Mantrena anena devasya kuryad dravyamayim budha sapariyam vividher dravyair deshakala vibhagavit. So this pastime demonstrates that even if we may have some desire, you know, we may not have come to Krishna, you know, asking for pure devotional service. We may have come with other desires in the mind. But even if we come with certain desires for fulfillment, if you pray in front of Krishna, probably even those desires may be fulfilled and you become purified of the tendency to desire like that. That is possible. Right? So many people may come with so many desires, but they get fulfilled. Like one of our, you know, devotees, he was going for a interview. He got sacked from his job and he was feeling very sad. Nowadays it's a common thing. You know, he got sacked and he was thinking, oh, I was in such a high position. And he tried few other jobs, he couldn't get, he became frustrated. Then after a long time, then he got a call from, you know, Citibank or something to be a very high position. But because he had failed so many times, he had got kind of fed up. So he said, anyway, I'll go, since I have to do my duty. So as he was driving, he was listening to one lecture on Gaur Leela. So Radhanath Maharaj was giving lecture, and it was a description of Lord Chaitanya giving mercy to Prataprudra Maharaj, and he was hearing in 3-4 hours, 5 hours lecture was there, and it was a drive out of the city. So when he reached the interview, then he was asked, you know, he was one of the last people to, you know, appear for the interview. So they asked him, so what makes you think that you can lead this, you know, team as a group leader? What is that one quality which you feel is your strength? And he said, Trinadapi Sunichena Arorapi Sahishnuna Amanena Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And these people were totally bewildered, said, what is this? So he gave a whole translation. And probably full day they were also bored hearing technical interviews. So at the end of the day, some nice katha was there. So then he started explaining, you know, all of these things. And then probably whatever he heard in the lecture, he just started narrating some of those points. That as in the history we have seen, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrate this. And then he went on speaking for probably 45 minutes, 1 hour. And they were supposed to select only, you know, one person, and he got selected. So probably some of you can try this technique. But here, we find that the desire is there, but we cannot overcome the desire immediately. How do we overcome it? By bringing in Krishna into the picture. So then Rajogun is overcome, and then Dhruva Maharaj finally takes darshan of the Lord. And then he says to the Lord that actually, Bhaktim muhu pravatam toime prasango bhuyat ananta mahatam amalashayana. My dear Lord, I actually want bhakti. I was practicing in this forest all alone. I want association of devotees. I want to hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees. Yenon jasal banamuru bhagavad bhavabdhim neshe bhavad gunakathamrata panamatta. I want to remain intoxicated in the glories of your holy name and pastimes. But Lord says that in future, if any worshipper approaches me, they should not think that if you approach Krishna, he takes away desire and doesn't fulfill. So they should also know that Krishna has the power to fulfill. So therefore, although you don't have desire, still I will give you that separate planet, which is beyond what even Brahma has. So separate planet was created, Dhruva Loka, by the Lord. So in this way, the Lord protects in different ways. So that is what Sthanam refers to. The Lord protecting his devotees, showing the excellence of the Lord. Showing that what the Lord can give, no one can give. That's the whole idea. And then, after Dhruva Maharaj, then comes the pastime of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj is practicing devotional service, and then he is performing horse sacrifices. He goes up to perform 99 horse sacrifices, and Indra becomes very angry or insecure, because if he performs 100 horse sacrifices, you can become Indra. So naturally in this world, if someone sees that, okay, somebody is taking my position, it creates insecurity. So Indra became insecure and stole the horse. So then Prithu Maharaj's son went and caught the horse back. Again Indra stole the horse. And few times this happened, and then finally when Prithu Maharaj himself was about to kill Indra, Indra actually took up the, you know, vesha of different bogus sadhus, and all the apasampradaya started from there. Indra is there, Bhavandar Acharya. Of all of these, Prabhupada writes detailed purports about all the different deviant sects which were started by Indra. So this was a conflict of interest. Prithu Maharaj wants to perform the 100th sacrifice. Indra is not allowing him to do. Both are devotees. So now Lord appears. First Brahmaji appears and then Brahmaji directly instructs Prithu Maharaj. So who stole the horse? Indra stole the horse. But Brahmaji doesn't tell anything to Indra. Brahmaji tells Prithu Maharaj, you have appeared here for actually upholding dharma. But by your obsession with this 100th horse sacrifice, only adharma is being created. So why don't you just refrain from this 100th sacrifice? And as Prithu Maharaj is contemplating, Lord Vishnu appears. And Lord Vishnu appears with Indra by his side, as if he is the hero. And Vishnu comes and starts instructing Prithu Maharaj. Sudhiya sadhavo loke naradevo narottama nabidruhyanti bhutebhya yarhi natma kalevaram. That, oh my dear Prithu Maharaj, what is this? Those who are intelligent people, those who are good hearted, you know, they should not be envious of others, they should not create torment to others, and they should behave well. Nabi druhyanti bhutebhya yarhinatma kalevaram. And even if someone does something bad, he should forgive. Forgiveness is the hallmark, because we should know that everyone is like a sick person, and if in a hospital somebody vomits, the doctor doesn't slap him. Because the doctor knows he's already sick, and that sickness is inducing him to vomit. So we should look upon other souls that they are sick, and even if they express some envy and anger, it is because of that sickness. Learn to forgive. So then Lord Vishnu gives detailed explanation to Prithu Maharaj. So this is a very interesting dialogue which happens. So finally Prithu Maharaj refrains from performing his 100th horse sacrifice. Why? Because the Lord desired that we should not increase further conflict and adharma in this creation. So ultimately, the Lord has a desire, and submission to the Lord's will is the greatest yajna. It is the greatest sacrifice. So although he did 99 horse sacrifices, the 100th sacrifice which he did was most pleasing to the Lord, and that was the sacrifice of his opinion. So because Prithu Maharaj sacrificed his opinion, sacrificed his false ego, his desire, and was malleable enough to change his desire as per the Lord's will, so Lord was very pleased with him. So therefore it is not the number of sacrifices which helps us become dear to the Lord. It is how eager we are to follow the desires of the Lord which makes us dear to the Lord. So in this way Prithu Maharaj, you know, demonstrated. And because of this, the Lord was so pleased that he made him so famous and so opulent. Again, demonstrating that by submitting to my will of not performing the 100th sacrifice, his original desire was to be like Indra. But because he submitted to me, he became more famous and more glorious than even Indra. Sthanam. That means you will never lose by taking shelter of Krishna. The Lord will always protect his devotee. That means never think twice before investing in Krishna. Sthanam basically means that investment in me brings solid returns. I will take care. Don't worry. This is the right position. This is the right position. What? My lotus feet. Don't be fearful of taking shelter of that lotus feet. Come under that lotus feet. Don't worry, I won't crush you. I will just crush the false ego and then ultimately benefit you. So then also we find that in Canto 5, the similar thing happens, that Priyavrat Maharaj, he is sitting and performing some tapasya, and listening to Narad Muni. And Brahmaji, at that point, so, you know, at that point there is nobody to rule the universe. So what is to be done? So therefore, it is decided that Swayambhuva Manu, he goes to Brahmaji, and then he convinces Brahmaji that we should go and convince this Priyavrat Maharaj to get married. So again they come, and because Narad Muni is preaching, so it is very difficult for anyone to intervene. So but Narad Muni, when he sees Brahmaji, he immediately submits, and Brahmaji comes and tells Priyavrat that please change your plans now. There is nobody to take care, so this life of renunciation is not good. You better become the king and take care of this universe. So then he submits again to the Lord's will. And because of that, it is described how he became so glorious, thus demonstrating submission to the Lord's will has no loss. A person only gains. And then there is description about, of course, in the fourth canto, the pastime of Prachini Parishat and the Prachetas also comes, where Prachini Parishat is simply performing various kinds of karma kandi rituals, animal sacrifices, and Narad Muni comes. And Narad Muni comes and tells him the story of a king called Puranjan, who was also performing various animal sacrifices. So when Prachini Parishat heard another king, story of another king who was performing sacrifices, he became very interested. So he kept hearing that pastime. And after hearing the pastime for a few chapters, Prachini Parishat felt suspicious that this story appears too familiar. And then, is there any link between this person and me? And Narad Muni says, of course, I am talking about you only. So that is called Parokshavad, indirect. So if directly Narad Muni comes and tells Prachini Parishat, you are a fool, stop this, so he will become very angry. So via story he goes, and a person becomes interested in story. Therefore, Parokshavada Vedoyam Balana Manushasana. So the Vedic literatures explain that people don't feel offended when they hear stories. And when they hear stories, what happens is, it is not confirmed whether the speaker is speaking about them. But at the same time, sufficient doubt is created. So both things are taken care. Doubt is created, it could be me also. I also do like this. But no, he won't offend me like this. So it may be somebody else. So you speak about Duryodhana and how he was envious, and because of his envy to Pandavas, he couldn't sleep at night. So you think, oh, Duryodhana, very bad. You shouldn't be doing like this. No, dvesh bahut bura hai. And we feel that it's a very bad quality. But then, while taking prasad, we contemplate, I think I also have. And probably I should also do something about it. So then gradually, through that, introspection begins. So therefore, finally, Prachini Parishat also surrenders to the Supreme Lord. And his sons also become pure devotees, the Prachetas. Then there is pastime of Bharat Maharaj and Rishabdev. All of these were great devotees, and they were fully situated in the service of the Lord, and how the Lord protects them in every possible way. And Bharat Maharaj, you know, there is detailed description about how Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer. Then he fell down and he became Jada Bharat. And then when he became Jada Bharat, he met Maharaj Rahuguna, and there is a detailed discussion between the two. So the Lord protected the memory of the devotional sentiment of Bharat Maharaj. And then he continued on. And then the great forest of enjoyment is described in detail. And so the fifth canto also describes that depending on the desire of the devotee, or the desire of the conditioned soul, the Lord can provide all facilities within the material world. Because one may want to know, what are the varieties available? So the entire universe is explained in great detail in fifth canto. Right? Just like you want to tour, so you want to know you know, what are the places available. So in the material world, if you want to tour in 14 planetary systems, what are the options available? So that is described in great detail in the 5th canto. And even if you don't understand 5th canto, very soon the entire thing is going to come up in Mayapur, in our Vedic planetarium. And Prabhupada has given so much of priority to that, that right in the temple hall, there is going to be a model of the universe hanging from the chandelier. So that means you offer obeisances and look up, you will see the model of the universe. And then apart from that, there is a separate auditorium where the whole, you know, planetarium is going to be displayed. So Srila Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on this 5th canto, because it explains the structure of the whole universe. And many times Prabhupada take that as an opportunity to test his devotees' faith in the Vedic literatures vis-a-vis the scientific paradigm. And Prabhupada would many times comment, the sun is closer than the moon. And many people would get bewildered, how can sun be closer than the moon? How is it possible? And some people would ask Prabhupada also, how is it possible sun is closer than the moon? And Prabhupada would say, because Sunday comes before Monday. And they would get totally bewildered. Said, what is the connection? And Prabhupada said, then you tell me why Sunday comes before Monday. And they had never thought about it. And although, you know, if anyone else speaks the same argument, it may not be accepted. But Prabhupada had certain potency. When he spoke it, you know, people would walk out of the room agreeing, and then after going out they would think, how did I agree? And then there are so many details Prabhupada gave his disciples to work on, and based on that they are bringing this whole, you know, planetarium in Mayapur Dham. So the 5th canto describes all of those structure of the universe in great detail. That these are the different positions where the conditioned soul tries to enjoy. The Lord provides him, the Lord gives him facilities to enjoy in different places. But then it is described that if one commits sinful activities, so there are two kinds of enjoyment. One is enjoyment which is sanctioned by the Lord. So when the enjoyment is sanctioned by the Lord, then so many demigods are there. But all those demigods in the 5th canto are offering prayers to the Lord. Then, my dear Lord, we are fed up of this enjoyment. We want to take shelter of your lotus feet. Showing again, sthanam, that the Lord, even though he may give facility for enjoyment to his devotee, still protects his devotional desire. Protects his desire to perform devotional service. And in 19th chapter of the 5th canto, the demigods are praying, Kalpayushat sthanajayat punarbhavat kshanayushat bharat bhujayo varam. The demigods are saying, we are fed up of enjoying in the heavenly planets. It is atishay indriya utsamat. It is excessive sense gratification here. Where we want to go? We want to go to Bharatvarsh. We want to go to India. And we want to perform tapasya there. You know, demigods are praying. And Indians are praying, let me go to America. The Britishers started Quit India movement in, you know, against the Britishers. It was started in 42. But in the 90s and 2000, we are taking it seriously. The software engineers. Quit India. Take a green card. So what is the point? The demigods are praying, let me come to this place which is a tapo bhumi. And in fact, a very shocking thing I came across just a few days when I was taking a lecture for the Vidyapit at Vada. Mandara kunda kurvopulak champakarana punnaga naga bakulamuja parijata gandhir chite tulasika varaina dasya yasmin tapo sumanaso bahumanayanti. In third canto, all the different flowers in spiritual world are glorifying the tapasya of Tulsi Maharani. Yasmins tapo sumanasu bahumanayanti. That although they are all fragrant and very attractive, still they consider Tulsi Maharani's tapasya to be greater. So Chakravarti Pad writes that the residents of the Vaikuntha planets they also want to perform tapasya like Tulasi. And therefore they are desiring to come to Bharatvarsh. And Chakravarti Pad says that the Vaikuntha Vasis consider Bharatvarsh greater than even Vaikuntha. So I got shocked when I heard, when I read that. So there was an original Sanskrit edition available. So I double checked with the Sanskrit edition, you know, whether it is authentic, original Chakravarti Pad, or, you know, some, you know, nationalist fervor has merged into this. So I checked original Sanskrit, and original Sanskrit also it is said, you know, I didn't note that verse, the Sanskrit which Chakravarti Pad says, but he mentions this point. So therefore, the best sthan in the 14 planetary systems according to Bhagavatam to practice bhakti is Bharat. Congratulations. That is the conclusion. You know, all of one's desires to perform devotional service will be protected. And amongst that, the best place to practice is Mumbai. Because it is so miserable. Any prospects to enjoy will be filled with so much of misery here. Somebody was asking me in America, you know, why? Oh, I went to your local trains, it is so crowded. Why do you travel in such trains? What do you get? I said, free massage. So you don't have to tell people here too much. In some of the smaller towns you go, life is very peaceful, you know, very heavenly. So then if you tell them, material world is miserable place, material world is miserable. When I was giving lecture at some of the smaller towns, where everyone has their bungalow, they have their car, they have their job, their workplace is only 10 minutes drive, or walk. And there were a group of people sitting, and I was telling, Dukkhale Mashashvatam. They were thinking, the speaker is frustrated. And like the whole 1 hour lecture went, and after the lecture, they said, okay, lecture over? Okay, thank you. Please come next year. So it was like a, you know, entertainment where the need was not really felt that I need some shelter, I need some, because life is so peaceful. But here, even if you try to be peaceful, there will be lots of opportunities for misery. So that is known as thanam, protection by the Lord. So that is what sthiti vaikuntha vijayam. That means the, it is described, refers to the Lord protecting the devotee, showing the excellence of the Lord, or the Lord making his best efforts to protect the desire of the devotee to continue practicing the process. The next topic is called poshanam. Poshanam tat anugraha. Poshanam means Lord's mercy. Poshanam basically means, so poshanam is one step beyond sthiti. Sthiti means protection. But poshanam means, even if a devotee who is practicing devotional service commits accidentally some sin, the Lord is not, you know, displeased with him. He continues giving him the opportunity. So in protecting the jivas, the Lord shows his mercy to some, to the devotees performing sadhana, even if they are involved in a sin by accident. So the fifth canto contains all the descriptions of planets, and finally the fifth canto ends. The last chapter is the description of the hellish planets. You know, so even if some soul feels that I am not inspired by any of the other 11 Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Pralada, Janaka, Bhishma, I don't want to meet them, I don't want to see them. They get an opportunity to meet the 12th Mahajan, which is Yamraj, in Yamlok. So the Lord has arranged things in such a way that every soul will get some Vaishnava Sangha. No matter how hard he tries to avoid. Sadhu Sangha is guaranteed in this creation. That is called sthanam. the Lord protects. So finally, even if he doesn't surrender to any of the desires to serve the Lord, he will end up in hellish planets. And that last chapter describes in great detail. And it will be a very horrifying description. Anyone reads that, you know, will get really very fearful. And so many people, there are stories of people who have left ISKCON and they started performing sinful activities. They read that chapter, came back because of the fear. And it's a fact. And there Yamraj doesn't give any class. There are no Bhagavatam classes there. You know? So he just gives the dosage of punishment which is required for each soul as per his sin. So then Parikshit Maharaj in the sixth canto beginning asks about what is the means for deliverance. And so the Ajamil pastime begins. So as part of Poshanam, the first pastime is Ajamil pastime, where Ajamil was a devotee of Narayan. He was worshipping the Lord when he was young. Then suddenly he saw some woman embracing another man. She was a prostitute. Stambhe matmanatmanam yavat sattam yathashrutam na shashaka samadhatum mano madana vepitam. He got distracted. And although he tried to control his mind, he couldn't control. And he started living with that prostitute, gave up his own wife, became sinful. So at the time of death, he called out his son's name, Narayan. Nishamya mriyamanasya mukhato hari kirtanam bhartur nama maharaja sahasa parshadaha sahasapatan. So based on the sins he had committed, he should have gone to hell. So Yamdutas came. But Nishamya mriyamanasya, that dying man, when he shouted the name of Narayan, mukhato hari kirtanam bhartur nama Maharaja Parshada, the Parshads of Lord Vishnu appeared there, thus showing Poshanam. The Lord, he shows a special mercy to somebody, even though he may be a devotee, but he deviates, commits sin, or by accident has a fall down, whatever. The Lord is there, he forgives and gives another chance. So therefore Poshanam means that nourishment, that special personal care which the Lord takes of his devotees when they are in difficulty. So this sixth canto is filled with this kind of pastime. So at that point it is described that Ajamil is protected by these Vishnu Dutas, and then finally he says, Athate kvangatah siddha chatvara charu darshanam Vyamam chayam niyamam badhva pashair abhobuah. He says, where did those beautiful personalities go who delivered me, who protected me? Vyamam chayam niyamam badhva pashair abhobuah. I was protected by them, otherwise I was going to hellish planets. Kochaham kitabappapa brahmagna nirapatrapa kocha narayanatyeti Bhagavannam Mangalam. I am so fallen, I am so sinful, but the Lord's holy name is so merciful. The holy name of the Lord appears on my tongue and allows me to associate, although I am so fallen and He is so exalted. So Ajamil is glorifying the power of the Lord's holy name. So Shukadeva Goswami ends this pastime by saying, Muryamano Harirnam Grihana Putropacharitam Ajamilopi agadhama kim punaha shraddhayagranam. He says that Ajamil chanted only at the time of death. Ajamil was not following principles. Ajamil called out his son's name, Grihana Putropacharitam kim punaha shraddhayagranam. Ajamil never heard the glories of Krishna's pastimes. So if you take the opposite, if instead of only at death, if we regularly chant Krishna's name, how much more benefit we will get? Because many people give opposite argument. Oh, Ajamil pastime, very inspiring. Sab kuch kiya usne. one boy was telling me, Jamil, kya manage kiya life? He enjoyed also. The last moment, Narayan. So probably I also have chance. No, this is called Kaimotik Nyaya. Kaimotik Nyaya means how much more. Muryamano, if somebody chants only at time of death and still get benefit. The concept is to inspire us to chant more regularly. Not that we get inspired and only chant at death. Because this is such a rare pastime, it has found its way in Bhagavatam. If we try to follow in Ajamil's footsteps, we'll end up with Yamraj. So, Muryamano, Harer Nam Grin Putropacharitam, Ajamil was calling out his son's name. But if we directly call out Krishna, how much more benefit we'll get? Ajamilopi Agadhyama, he was not following principles till the time of his death. If we start following regulative principles now, how much more benefit we'll get? Kim Punar Shadhyagrinan, Ajamil never heard single lecture on holy name. He didn't attend any seminar on holy name. He didn't understand glories of holy name. He just shouted. So if we develop our faith in holy name, how much more benefit we'll get? So therefore, this beautiful pastime ends with this lesson. Etavan eva lokesmin pumsa dharma parahasmrita bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama grihanadidhi. The ultimate dharma in this entire creation is for the jiva to practice bhakti yoga, which begins by chanting of the holy names. And this verse is quoted by Yamraj. Whether you take other Mahajan seriously or not, Yamraj has to be taken very seriously. Namocharana Mahatman Harir Pashyata Putraka Ajamilopi Yenaiva Murtyupashat Amuchyata. That just see the glories of chanting of the holy name. Ajamil, he chanted the holy name, and Yamraj is telling Yamadutas, Putraka, O my dear sons. And Yamraj was very blissful with this pastime, because for the first time Yamadutas were stopped by someone, and for the first time Yamadutas discussed something philosophical with Yamraj. Otherwise, in the whole management of Yamaloka, only discussion happening was, you know, we have to boil so many souls, we have to strip so many souls skin. हाँ भट्टी नहीं चल रहा है यहाँ पर. यमदूत अगर आ गई विद यमराज ओटी नहीं करूंगा. सो ऑल एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन ऑल अदर मैटर्स ओनली हैपनिंग फर्स्ट टाइम दे आर आस्किंग अरे हू आर दिस फेलोज दे आर सेइंग समथिंग नारायण 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 व्हाट इज दिस नारायण हू इज नारायण हू आर यू आर द बॉस. सो व्हेन ही हर्ड दैट भागवतम से यमराज स्माइल्ड एट लास्ट chance for a class here in Yamaloka. So he very much liked this. So Namocharana Mahatmyam, it is described here, Hare Pashyata Putraka, oh my dear sons, with great affection. You know, Yamraj has, because they are continuously serving together, Yamraj and Yamdutas. So although Yamdutas may not be the highest devotees, but there is some affection developed. Putraka, oh my dear sons, just see the mahatmya of the holy name. Ajamilopi enaiva mrityupashat amuchyata. That you could not catch him because he chanted the holy name. So therefore, this is the first pastime which describes Poshanam. Then next three chapters describe about Daksha Prajapati. And Daksha also, in one sense, although he has committed offense at Lord Shiva's feet, so that some seed of that offense is still there. So Daksha Prajapati, he begets 10,000 sons. And Narad Muni goes there and preaches to them and gives them a detailed description about how, you know, material world is a place of misery and this and that, and finally they figure it out and they leave everything and go to Himalayas. So Daksha Prajapati is given this news that your 10,000 sons have gone to Himalayas and become sadhus. So Daksha Prajapati become very much affected. But he produces another 1,000 sons, sends them again to the same place. Again Narad Muni comes there. And this time Narad Muni doesn't give a detailed riddle. All Narad Muni tells these 1,000 sons is, in Vedic culture, the duty of the younger brother is to follow elder brother. Do you agree or not? He said, yes, you know where elder brothers have gone? Himalaya. So they also went. So then Narad Muni personally comes to report to Daksha. And Daksha is so angry. Nanu bhuyana janati punam vishe tikshnatam nirvidyate svayam tasmat natata bhinnadi parai. Tare, you are allowed them to go without experiencing. You don't know, the highest realization comes through personal experience. Let them enjoy. When they suffer personally, then they will become detached. What you have done is brainwashing. You have imposed your own thing on them without allowing them chance to experience. So I curse you. Should never have a house to stay. Tantu karne yunastam. Should always be traveling. So Narad Muni is very happy to hear that. Because even if he goes anywhere and people say, why you have come here? Well, I have Daksha's curse. What can I do? I cannot stay at one place. I have to keep traveling. So, at this point, the reason why Narad Muni comes to Daksha is because Daksha, it is described, had so far avoided accepting the full mercy. So Narad Muni thought, because he is frustrated and very distressed, he may become fully surrendered now. So Narad Muni took that opportunity. You know, out of his causeless mercy, wanting to give him pure bhakti. But at this point, Daksha Prajapati, now it is described, from his wife Asikni, he produced 60 daughters. Because Daksha Prajapati now developed a phobia towards Narad Muni. That if I produce son, Narada will again come. So safe is to produce daughters. So at least Narad Muni won't come. So therefore, at this point, you know, we can see that although Daksha is having so many defects or different things in his heart, the Lord is somehow or the other giving him opportunities, giving him mercy. Then from the 7th to 13th chapter, there is the pastime of Indra and Vritrasura. So first thing Indra does is he offends his spiritual master Brihaspati. You know, Brihaspati enters into the assembly hall and Indra is busy watching, you know, different apsaras dance and this and that, and Indra is not, and although he sees Brihaspati, he doesn't respect him. So Brihaspati becomes angry and goes, and because of the disrespect they lose power, and the demigods, immediately the news reaches demons, they attack on the spot. Their networking is very strong. And as soon as they come, they defeat the demigods. The demigods get defeated. So then Indra goes to Brahmaji and Brahma says, the demons have pleased their spiritual master and you have displeased, so they are powerful. So then they appoint another person called Vishwarup as their spiritual master. He gives them Narayana Kavach. But then Vishwarup has some affection for demons. So two oblations he would offer for demigods and two for demons also, secretly. So Indra is very clever, he finds out. So Indra is so angry that he is cheating, that Indra cuts off the head of Vishwarup. So first he offended Brihaspati. He appointed second guru to overcome that offense. Landed up making bigger offense. So then finally Vishwarup's father, he performs a yajna through which, you know, by mistake, one big demon comes called Vritrasur. And Indra becomes fearful what is going to happen. So they again approach Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu gives recommendation that you approach this Dadichi Rishi and ask Dadichi Rishi for his bones. You know, so you can see how the demigod's life is filled with so much of anxiety and selfishness. For maintaining their position, they are willing to go to this Dadichi Rishi. And Dadichi Rishi is famous for being selfless. Because Ashwini Kumaras, who are the doctors of the demigods, had come to Dadichi Rishi and said, please give Brahma Vidya. So Dadichi Rishi said, okay, you go and come back after some time. So the Ashwini Kumaras went. Immediately Indra came. And Indra came and told Dadichi Rishi, there is no way you can give this spiritual knowledge, Brahma Vidya, to Ashwini Kumaras. They are only doctors. Let them do what they are doing. If you give them Brahma Vidya, they will start, you know, doing other things. They may follow their trade or not, we don't know. Better you don't give, okay? If you give them Brahma Vidya, I'll cut off your head. So Indra is very active in the heavenly planets. He is keeping track of what is happening. So again Ashwini Kumar has come on the appointed day and said, we are ready for Brahma Vidya. Please speak. He said, Are Baba, Indra came and he gave warning, he is going to cut off my head. Ashwini Kumar said, no problem. We have solution for everything. Since Indra is going to cut your head, but we are doctors, we know how to replace head. So what we'll do is, we'll first cut off your present head, keep him on the side, and put one horse's head. Through that horse's head, you give Brahma Vidya. Okay? Then when Indra comes, and he is very angry, he will cut off horse's head. We will come again, put that old head back. He will leave again. So it was agreed upon. And the Dichi Rishi is so merciful, he agreed for this proposal. He didn't have a single doubt with their surgical skills. You know, he didn't go into a detailed discussion, hey, show me first. Try on somebody. What a major risk it is. If someone comes and gives you this proposal, who will agree? Let cut your head, put it in the freezer, and after some time they'll take it out. So therefore, this knowledge which he gave through his horse's head is called Ashvashira. Ashvashira means the knowledge which was spoken through that. So the same thing happened. Indra became angry, cut off the head, they replaced it back. So this Dadichi Rishi was approached and he said, I will give up my body and use my bones. And with the bones, a thunderbolt was made. So the demigods, they had so much of, they were so shameless, they came to Dadichi Rishi and Dadichi Rishi saying, what can I do for you? He said, please die. We want your bones. And he said, okay, I agree. Ultimately, body is going to die. Let me be an instrument in Lord Vishnu's mission. That is much better. You know, so the repeated theme is that, okay, someone may be selfish, someone may be selfless, but both of these positions are brought together and shown that how it is very important for us to move towards selflessness. And then with that thunderbolt, Indra started fighting with Vritrasura. But at a certain point, Vritrasura completely defeated Indra. Even that thunderbolt fell on the ground. Ahum hare tava padaikamula dasanuvas bhavitasmi bhuya. He says, I just want to be the servant of the servant. Vritrasura is a demon. He is saying, please make me servant of the servant. Nanaka prishtam nacha parameshtyam na sarvabhaumam narasadipatyam na yoga siddhir apunar bhavamba samanjasatva virahya kankshe. My dear Lord, who is the source of all opportunities, I do not want to go to heavenly planets. I do not want yoga siddhis. I do not want Brahmaloka. I do not want hellish planets. If any of this is going to separate me from the lotus feet, I don't want any of this. So Vritrasura's, you know, consciousness is so powerful. So the Bhagavatam is demonstrating the Lord is so merciful that he doesn't see the external birth. Even in a demon's body, Vritrasura's consciousness is higher than demigod. Demigod is supposed to be divine. And demon is supposed to be demoniac and selfish. But Vritrasura is selfless. And thus he demonstrated he is much superior in consciousness to Indra. So the naturally question is asked by Parikshit Maharaj, how can a demon be so divine? What was his background? Okay, he was Chitraketu. And then how the Lord was merciful to Chitraketu is demonstrated. He was hankering for a son. He had 1 crore wives. can imagine how many responsibilities he must be having. But with 1 crore wives, he could not produce single son. So therefore, that son, which was finally given by, you know, as Govindpuru was referring to that son as virtual son, who just came for some time by the blessings of those sages. And then finally he died, because he was killed by the other envious mothers. He died. So then he was brought to reality, Harsha Shoka. So any throbbing desire in our heart we have, feeling that if only I fulfill this desire, I'll be happy, that is potentially Harsha Shoka. Any object apart from Krishna is ultimately going to be Harsha Shoka. So therefore, the Lord is very mercifully delivering Chitraketu from that situation. He became a great devotee of Sankarshan. So first the Lord delivered him from his material desire and brought him to the stage of devotional service. Then the Lord was merciful that as a devotee he was roaming around, he saw Lord Shiva giving a discourse, keeping Parvati on his lap. And Lord Shiva was speaking about, you know, Harikatha to a group of sadhus, and Parvati is sitting in the lap. So for Chitraketu it was a strange sight. What is going on? All renunciants are sitting, Shiva is sitting, and Parvati is on the lap. So he kind of ridiculed that situation. So Parvati became very angry and cursed Chitraketu. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati. So Lord Shiva says, the Lord's devotees are not fearful of any situation. Guna pravaha etasmin taha shapa karma anugraha kim swarga naraka kimva. Chitraketu Maharaj says, this material world is nothing but a wave of different desires. Sometimes those desires take us up, sometimes they take us down. But after all, it is the material ocean. We should not be very eager to ride on the waves or submerge under the waves. We should be eager to get out of that ocean. Therefore, I am not concerned with this Shrapa. And in this way, he took birth as Vrittarasura. So again we see how the Lord demonstrates Poshanam, his mercy, by tolerating the mistakes or accidental deviations which may have happened. And then the last pastime in this canto demonstrates how Diti, she also committed, she was very angry that Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha have been killed. And she served her husband very well, and husband said, what do you want? She said, I want a son who will kill Indra. And husband said, my God, this was not good that I asked her. So then he recommends a whole series of pujas for Lord Vishnu. And he says, even if there is one deviation, it will fail. So Indra comes and starts serving Diti, knowing that if she is successful in her yajna, I will be finished. So Diti is pregnant at that time, and as Indra is serving, one day he sees that Diti goes to sleep without washing mouth after eating. So Indra gets into the womb, and Indra with thunderbolt, he cuts that embryo into 7 parts. And as soon as he cuts into 7 parts, all of them come alive and start praying to Indra. So Indra cuts them further again into 7 parts. They become 49, and they say, we are your brothers, don't kill us. So Indra is shocked. And then finally comes out, and these 49 become the 49 Maruts. And then Diti wakes up and finds that her children are there, along with Indra. So this was first time that Diti's children became demigods. So then Indra and Diti make up, and they share the realization that Indra said that I was very envious and wanted to destroy, but probably because of your devotional service to the Lord, even though you may have had some desire to create someone to kill me, that desire to serve the Lord has protected you, protected the sons, and protected me also. So in this way, the 6th canto is very beautiful, showing the Lord's heart. The Lord is always eager to display and show mercy upon the devotees. So that is called Poshanam. Sthanam Poshanam, then Utayaha, is the 5th topic. Utaya literally means uti, means impressions created by jiva's actions which lead them to future birth. So uti basically means, as you say, utpadan. Utpadan means, you know, or utthana. Ut means to come up. So uti literally means shubh ashubh karma, auspicious and inauspicious activities which follow auspicious and inauspicious desires. And how those good and bad actions create further good and bad desires. That is the meaning of uti. So seventh canto demonstrates what are the bad actions through the personality of Hiranyakashipu. What are the ashubh karma? What is the shubh karma? Two diverse personalities, Hiranyakashipu versus Prahlad. Right? What you should not do, see this fellow, Hiranyakashipu. What you must do, the good karmas, Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, that is what is described. No dvigna chitta vyasaneshu nispraha shuteshu drishteshu guneshu avastudrik dantendriya prana shariradhi sada prashanta kamarahita asura asura. So Prahlad Maharaj is supposed to be asura, but na udvigna chitta vyasaneshu, his heart was not into sense gratification. Shuteshu drishteshu guneshu avastudrik, no sense objects could distract him. Dantendriya prana, and all of his senses were completely controlled. Prashanta kamo, and he was fully peaceful and satisfied. Rahita asura asura, although he was asura, he was devoid of any asuric qualities. And as far as Hiranyakashipu is concerned, Hiranyakashipu, although he conquered over all directions, sa ittam nirjita kakub ekarad vishayan priyan yathopa joshan bhunjano na tripyat. He accumulated all sense objects, but as much Hiranya, as much gold and as much sex life he had, he became even more dissatisfied. So the whole personality of Hiranyakashipu as an extremely dissatisfied, aggressive personality who is very, very frustrated comes alive. That if one does ashubh karma dedicated to accumulating money and enjoyment of sex life and trying to aggressively attack other people, one's life will simply be frustrating. So in that one family, both Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad are demonstrated. And then finally, in order to protect Prahlad, the shubh karmas, the Lord personally manifested. Satyam vibhatam nija bhatya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhileshu chatmana. The Lord appears in a form which was never seen. Adrishyata ati adbhuta rupam udvahan stambhe samayana mriganna manushan. He appeared in a form which was never seen before as Lord Narsingadev. So then someone may react, oh, these two personalities are very extreme. I am neither divine like Prahlad and I am not as bad as Hiranyakashipu also. You know, I may do something wrong here and there. You know, sometimes watch TV or sometimes tell in office that I am sick because I am going to yatra or my grandmother has died or something has happened like this. Some small things I may do, but not like Hiranyakashipu. So, is there anything in between the two? Okay, then 11 to 15 chapter describe, okay, between the two is a ladder. Between ashubh karma and shubh karma, between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad is not 4 chapters of Varnashram. Okay, you gradually go up by practicing the process of Varnashram as per your current situation. Wherever you may be, do your duties like this. Then you will elevate. Then you do your duties. Then you will elevate. So therefore Prabhupada said, Varnashram is my unfulfilled mission. Because Prabhupada had less time, so he directly established the elevator. Elevator means that which will take straight to the highest platform. But he didn't have time to establish the staircase. So he left the mission for the next generation. That we have to provide facility for different people at different situations to gradually elevate who may not be able to catch the elevator. And therefore, you know, those 4 chapters in the 7th canto are very important, which describe about the Varnashram. that how you can transcend from ashubh karma and come to shubh karma. So then the sixth topic is called manvantara, where the life of the manus, manvantarani sadharma pritcha. And the eighth canto is describing how the Lord appears in the reign of the manus. Okay, so in the period of Tamasa Manu, the Lord appeared, and the Lord appeared in the womb of Harini as Hari, and he saved Gajendra by applying his chakra on the crocodile. So as soon as Shukadeva Goswami says, Parikshit says, oh, I want to hear that pastime, how it happened. So then three chapters go in describing Gajendra's pastime. Okay, manvantara basically means how the Lord appears. Sadharma pritcha, the manus and their laws are meant to give the right direction, and how the Lord appears in the reign of the manus to help the conditioned souls come towards him. So Swayambhu Manu, Swarochisha Manu, Uttam Manu, and then Tamasa Manu. In the reign of Tamasa Manu, Hari appeared. Then he says fifth Manu is Raivata Manu, and the sixth Manu is Chakshusha Manu. And in the reign of the Chakshusha Manu, Manus are like the administrators on behalf of Brahma. They are administering the universe. So in the reign of Chakshusha Manu, the Lord appeared as the son of Deva Sambharana and became known as Ajita. And he helped in the churning of the milk ocean, helped the demigods get the nectar. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj wants to know, hey, what is that churning of milk ocean? I want to know. Then, you know, so many chapters, 5-6 chapters go in the description of that. And within that, Kurma Avatar appears, Mohini Murti appears. So all of these different incarnations appear during this particular Manu reign, that is the Chakshusha Manu. So the Lord is constantly appearing, manifesting. And the conclusion of that churning of the milk ocean pastime describes, evam surasuragana samadesha kala hetvartha kama matiyo, that all factors were equal for demigods and demons. The only thing which demigods had extra was the Lord was on their side. So the Lord is coming and demonstrating that when I manifest, whoever take my side gets the benefit, will be victorious. Other things being equal, Gajendra and crocodile, equal power, pulling. Whoever took shelter of Lord Vishnu got benefit. Demigods and demons, same power, same strength, churning and doing everything possible, but demigod took shelter of Lord. Ultimately, at every step, Lord helped them till the end as Mohini Murti. So even there may be demons in the world who may be prospering, and they may have equal power as you, but you should know that taking shelter of Vishnu will be ultimately beneficial and bring ultimate victory. So we should take shelter of Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. So then all these descriptions are there. Then Ishanokatha means, Ishanokatha is kind of spread across the entire Bhagavatam, but still some acharyas say ninth canto has Ramachandra Katha, Ram Leela, and therefore it refers to that, and the description of Vanshavali of Surya and Chandra Vamsha. So Manvantara Ishanukatha, and eighth topic is Nirodha. Nirodha means dissolution. So in 12th canto, four kinds of dissolutions are described. You know, four kinds of pralaya. How the material world which has been created again gets wound back. So why Shukadeva Goswami is describing just before Parikshit's death about the destruction of the cosmos? Because he wants to impress that why are you afraid of death? Death means dismantling of your insignificant body. But when you hear about the dismantling of the entire universe, that is such a huge incident. In front of that, my personal dismantling of this body will appear very insignificant. So in order to give hope to Parikshit, then he speaks about the dissolution, which is known as Nirodha. So by reading that, we get the faith that the Lord, having provided facility for enjoyment, ultimately withdraws that facility also. Nirodha. So Nirodha also means all the souls go back into Mahavishnu, go back into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and for the time being, and then in the next creation again spring up. The unfulfilled desires don't change. Whatever unfulfilled desires may be there, with those unfulfilled desires they merge into the body of Vishnu. From that point again they will come up and they will be given new bodies. Till they come to the stage of ninth topic, Mukti. What is Mukti? And this is a shloka many people have heard. Mukti rihitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That means when the soul realizes that I must practice devotional service, the real liberation is when we are reinstated in devotional service. So those souls who stop trying to enjoy and perform devotional service, they are released. That is known as atyantika, or the complete annihilation, when the false ego is cut, the real ego is established. So 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, and the description about the Navayogendras, and finally the dissolution of the Yadava dynasty, all of these pastimes are connected with Mukti. Krishna explains in great detail the principles of devotional service to Uddhava in what is known as the Uddhava Gita. So, you know, Uddhava is praying to the Lord, Tapatrena bhitasya gore santapyamanasya bhavadvanisha pashyami nanyat sharanam tavangri dhandu atapatrat amrita bhuvarshat. My dear Lord, the trivida tap of this world cannot be overcome. Only when a soul takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he gets that divine umbrella which prevents you from being drenched by the miseries from without, and then drenches us with nectar of Krishna from within. And therefore, in a series of beautiful chapters, the detail is about how the soul can be reinstated in its real position is described as a devotee. The various challenges in devotional service, the Sankhya Yoga system, the Ashtanga Yoga system, the science of deity worship, everything is described in great detail. And all of this is ultimately to realize the 10th topic, which is Ashray. And the entire 10th canto is filled with the Ashray Tattva, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the cause of all causes. Yadarchitam Brahma Bhavadibi Surahi Shriya Chadevya Municha Satvatai Gocharayana Nucharaischaradvani Yad Gopikanam Kuchakunkumankitam. That Krishna, who is the Ashray, shelter of the 33 crore demigods, of all the sages, even shelter of Lakshmi. Brahma Bhavadiri Surai Shriya Cha Devya Hanune Cha Satvatai. Even Shri is hankering for shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. But what is Krishna doing? Gocharaya Anucharai Charadvani. He is running behind the cows in Vrindavan. He is hankering to serve the cows of Vrindavan. Right? Yat Gopikanam Kucha Kumkumankitam. This is that Ashray Tattva, Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsal. This is that Ashray who is so sweet and so mellow that he is always eager to be bound by his devotees' love. And that predominance of the love of devotee is demonstrated in the 10th canto. How the devotees bind me by their love. Harina Bhritya Vashyata Svavashenapi Krishnena Yasyedam Sa Ishwaram Vashya. In this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam progresses like a double helix structure. That means several topics are repeated again and again. It's a pattern which is repeated in order to reinstate the truth that I am not the enjoyer, I am not the doer, I am not the controller. Somehow I have landed up into the material world to enjoy. All the facilities for enjoyment are provided by him. Sarga, visarga. But ultimately the Lord only can give protection. Sthanam. Even in spite of the Lord's protection, if we deviate, accidentally commit some sin, Purushanam, he will not forsake us. He will help us. And ultimately, Utaya, considering the Shubh and Ashubh karma, we should try to give up our Ashubh activities and go for divine activities like Prahlad. That is the character to be followed. And having faith that Lord again and again manifested in so many pastimes, in so many Manu's reign, to give us encouragement and inspiration. Ishanukatha, so many varieties of Lord's incarnations, pastimes are there to get inspired. Nirodha, even if we can't fulfill those desires in this entire creation, the power of desire is so strong, it will remain for a full night of Brahma. And in the next day, again we will start from that point. Therefore, why to spend so much of time in the womb of Vishnu, waiting for the next creation? Might as well get situated in Mukti, in our real constitutional position as Krishna's eternal servant, and then attain the real Ashray, the Supreme Lord Krishna. So on this occasion of Purushottam Adhik Mas, we are very fortunate that we are able to discuss the entire summary of the summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been so mercifully presented by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai!
Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Bhaktivedanta Purports ki?
Jai!
Tai Gopi Manandi!
Jai!
Hare Krishna.